going to see if we can now join with our podcast. It is going on right now. And we want to welcome everyone by the podcast and by Facebook and by internet, wherever you may be. Maybe you're listening by Alexa or whatever it may be, that God is speaking to us today. Well, I want to say thanks to Mr. Carl. He brought me a little Bible, and it is called Sharing Jesus Without Fear. Sharing Jesus without fear. I'm going to tell you, folks, sometimes there's a lot of fear if you get looking at it and think about it as you share the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know that we're living in a time today they want to destroy everything that has something to do with Jesus. Well, I want to tell you, my personal opinion is, and I know this is going out all over around the world and everywhere else, but you know, my personal opinion is, as I look at this, as all of this has come down, that we have other people, radicals from around the world, that is now trying to break down America from within. You remember back many, many years ago, Khrushchev said, you cannot take America from the outside, but America will fall from within. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you, we're coming close to being to that point right now that America is falling from within, but I believe it is being fed from the outside. And I honestly, personally believe there is money coming from the outside that is paying these people to get out and to do these things and to carry on. That's the leaders. Now, not those who are followers, but the leaders. But I want to tell you, the Word of God is true today. And we're going to look in the fifth chapter of the book of St. John. And it talks about the third sign, healing the sick. Now, I want to tell you, I believe in healing of the sick today. I believe the power of the God that I'm serving today is able to reach out. He is able to touch the most sickest person in all the world and heal them today. But I believe that has to be in His will. You see, I believe that we must be submissive unto His will. And His will then is to be done in our life. You see, sometimes I believe there are times that we suffer in order to reach out and to touch other people through our sufferings. You say, well, that's not fair. It is fair. You know, if you can suffer, and because of your suffering, one person can be saved and one person can be redeemed, it's worth all you did. I'm going to tell you that. If we can get them to believe and trust in Jesus, it's worth it all. But in this book, it says, after this, the Jewish festival took place, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem by the Sheep's Gate to Jerusalem. There was a pool called Bethesda in Armada, which had five porches. Within theirs was a large number of disabled, blind, lame, and paralyzed people waiting to be healed. One man who was there had been disabled for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and realized that he had already been there for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to get well? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be your life to be changed?" Well, you say, what a question to ask someone. Well, I want to tell you, as we take a look at the book this morning, sometimes there's things we don't quite understand that are in God's will. There are things that we don't quite understand for things that are to take place to put us over to the promised land and help us to understand what God is doing with us. You know, if we knew everything about our life and why it happened and why this goes on, why that happens and the other things happen, we might change things. We might realize, hey, it would best that I've done something else. But you, this guy had been sick for 38 years, the Bible says. And Jesus said, do you want to be healed? What kind of answer do you think he would have given? Sir, the disabled man answered, I have no one to put me into the pool where the water is stirred. But while I am coming, someone goes down ahead of me. You see, the man said, sir, I would love to be healed, but I'm paralyzed. And I can barely move, but while I'm trying to wiggle myself down to the water, because at certain times of the day, the angels would come and they would trouble the water, and the first person that got in there was healed. He said, but while I'm coming, someone steps ahead of me. Now, you know, there's things we call courtesy. You know, respect of others. But most of us, when we are sick and things are going on, we forget about things called courtesy. It's all about me. You know, when we are sick and we got problems, and I would use for an illustration, if you've got a real bad case, there's no such thing as a good case, but you got a bad case of kidney stone, and that thing is really jived up and it is really hurting, there's no one that needs to come ahead of you on to tell you that. In our feelings. But there might be someone that's closer to dying than we are. You know, someone said it won't kill you, but it will make you wonder, how can you die? The pain becomes so severe. And guy, I use that as an illustration because I've been there with it. A few times I've been there, and I understand. You know, when they can't give you enough of pain medicine to ease the pain off, it's mighty bad pain. And one of the doctors looked at me one time and he said, I will get you out because I will put you to sleep so that you can have a little rest and take care of the heart. But this man says, sir, while I'm trying to get to the water, somebody steps ahead of me and I can't get healed. Now, we don't know how paralyzed this man was. We don't know how much pain this man was in. But we get a good idea here that this man could not walk. This man could not get up. This man could not move himself around very much. So while I am trying to get there, someone steps ahead of me. Well, I want to got good news for you this morning. There is no one who can step ahead of you in accepting and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You all can go at one time and Jesus can redeem you all. Whether it is one of you or 10,000 of you, Jesus can redeem you all that comes to him. So there's a need to come to Jesus. There's a need to allow him into our hearts. There's a need to be transformed. There's a need to be renewed. And only by the regeneration of the power of God can you be renewed. So I say to you this morning, would you step forth? Would you take up your bed? Would you walk for Jesus? Now, when Jesus asked him these questions and he gave him that answer, Jesus said in verse 8, get up, Jesus told him. I can hear the sternness. I can hear the command and get up. Take up your bed and walk. And instantly, the Bible says, instantly, the man was well, picked up his mat, and started walking. Now his troubles just began. He had just reached the point. He had just reached the point that he had been obedient unto God, and he had got up and he had taken that mat and he began to walk. Now I want to tell you, if you had not taken a step in 38 years, you couldn't walk. You'd be like a baby. You have to start all over again in learning how to walk. I've experienced several people in that category. So I want to tell you, another miracle. He could walk instantly, even though he hadn't walked in 38 years. Now that day was a Sabbath day. And we know that on the Sabbath day, no one was to do anything. You couldn't carry your bed. You couldn't go out and do anything. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "This is the Sabbath. The law prohibits you from taking up your bed and carrying it." And the man replied this. I want you to listen. "The man who made me well told me to pick up my bed and to walk. The man who made me whole told me to pick up my bed and walk. And you think I was not going to be obedient? If it had been you who told me to pick up my bed and walk and I could get up and take it, brother, I would have done it." But that was contrary to the doctrines. That was contrary to the laws of the land of that day. You couldn't carry your bed. You couldn't carry anything. You could only make so many steps during a day on the Sabbath day. But Jesus told this man on the Sabbath, "Take up your bed and walk." Who is this man who told you to take up your bed and walk? But the man who had healed did not know who it was, because Jesus had slipped away into the crowd and was not there. You see, this man didn't question Jesus who he was. If a doctor came into your hospital room and he said, "Look, I have a magic pill here I'm going to give you and you're going to be made whole," are you going to ask him his name? Are you going to ask him about, "Well, why are you doctoring me? You're not my regular doctor." But you would take that pill believing and hoping you're going to be made whole. But it was not long that they found Jesus. And he was found in the temple. And as he was there, "So you are well. Do not sin anymore, so that something worse than this doesn't happen to you." And the man went and reported to the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Therefore, the Jews began to persecute Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. Friends, I want to tell you today, the God that I am serving today is a God of the Sabbath. He is the God of Monday. He is the God of Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. The God of Sunday. The day that you and I today worship God is on Sunday. It is not the Sabbath day. The Sabbath was Saturday in those days. It was a day that was set aside from the beginning of time. But I want to tell you this. Whether we are worshiping God on Sunday, whether we're worshiping God on Wednesday, it doesn't make any difference. God said you are to worship me all the time. You are to give praises unto me and glorify my name. You know, we have so much today to worship God about. Why, in America today, even with all the rioting and the looting and all that we have going on, We have such a wonderful nation to be in, a nation that I am free to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there's probably going to come a time, and I may not live to see it, that you will become a martyr. You will be killed if you uphold the name of Jesus. But Jesus said, if you save your life, you shall lose it. If you lose your life for my sake, you have found it. So friends, I want to tell you today, always stand up for Jesus. The man that is mentioned in this Bible, the man that is mentioned in this book, the man that came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I want to tell you today, if you don't know the man in this book today called Jesus, I challenge you today to find him. I want to tell you, this man can make you whole spiritually, instantly. He may not heal you physically, but he will heal you spiritually. He will save you, redeem you, and make you ready to enter in the kingdom of God. He said, it's my will that all should come into repentance and that none should perish. So my friend today, would you come to Jesus Christ today? Father, we thank you for this opportunity, a time to share, a time to look into the book that tells us there is redemption in Jesus Christ. Take us, Lord, now. Hide us behind the cross. Give us the strength that we need spiritually to go forth and to teach the love of Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings, who is Lord of Lords, who is the great, great I Am. I trust today that you will do that and you will allow Jesus to reach into your heart, into your life, and to bless you. Well, folks, that concludes another time for a look at the book. From now until next Sunday morning, may the good Lord bless you, and may he keep you, and may we today understand that God is there with us and that God is keeping us. And good morning, everybody. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. We're going to rejoice. We're going to have a good time in the Lord because my God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, we have reached into another time. We have passed through, and we're here to celebrate with you today. And I trust that you will join with us today. If you join with us today, I hope that maybe you might just call someone or send them out a note from Facebook and say, hey, why don't you join with us right here with Turning Points. Turning Points, folks, is a time that I come to you and I share with you the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the things that Jesus has to say to us today. Today, we're going to talk about honoring the Father and the Son. In the book of John in chapter 5, in verse 17, Jesus talks about the importance of us honoring the Father and the Son. So when we think about that and we understand what he's saying to us, I want to tell you, how much do we honor God today? You know, if we asked, how much do you honor your father and your mother? Sometimes it would be hard to answer, wouldn't it? Well, I just want to tell you, it's very, very important that we honor our mothers and our fathers and that we honor God. The Bible says, honor thy mother and thy father that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God has given you. So there's great things that we can accomplish from honoring. There's things that we can accomplish and we can receive because we honor God the Father and God the Son. So what does he say? Jesus responded to these people, my Father is still working and I am working also. Now I want to tell you, you know, some people have the big idea that God is just sitting up in heaven and smiling back and look at all of us people down here cut up and act so foolish so many times. Because I want to tell you, That's literally what's going on worldwide today. We are acting very foolish instead of trying to solve the problems that we have. Yes, do we have problems? Sure we do. Do we have things that we need to change? Sure we do. Because we're still human beings. And so we don't always make the right decision. But when we don't make the right decision, we come back and we correct it to make it better. But you know, we people don't want to like to say we made a mistake. We didn't do it right the first time. Well, Jesus said, I want to tell you, my Father is still working and so am I also. This is why the Jews began trying the more to kill him and the more he was breaking the Sabbath. But he was even calling God his Father, making himself equal with God. You see, your son, your daughter is equal with you. If you're in unity as you ought to be. And Jesus said, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. You get it? I am in the Father and the Father is in me. He said, my Father is still working and so am I still working. Well, I want to tell you, this just upset these Jews a lot. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they just could not understand this. And so the more they sought out to kill Jesus, to destroy him. But you see, this was the devil, this was Satan working within them. Not just themselves, but Satan working in them, because who was the number one person who hated Jesus? Was the devil. Satan himself. You remember that when Jesus was there and the demons was in and they cried out and they said, what do we have to do with you? We know that you have come to torment us, but what do we have to do with you? Friends, I want to tell you today that I am serving a God today that is able, he's capable, and he will go in and he will undermine and he will redeem you and set you free. There is no devil and no demon sufficient enough to destroy you once you give your life over to Jesus. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Those are things we need to understand. And then Jesus replied, truly, I tell you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own. Now, Father and Son is in business, but who's in control? The Father. So Jesus said, I'm not able to do anything on my own, but let's see what he said. But only what he sees the Father does. What he sees the Father doing, he can do also. You know, I remember when I was a young boy and I would see my dad do things and I said, you know, I can do that too. And I would prove to myself that I could do those things. And guys, I want to tell you, I'm so thankful that I had an earthly father. Now, you know, they're telling us that the biggest problem that America has today is because there's so many children that are raised without fathers. But I want to tell you something. The biggest problem with that and cause of that was the government. Because they said, you know, if you will have these children and you don't have a husband, we can give you big money. So you know what? They did. So all these children are raised without a father. And I'm going to tell you, I believe that without a father represented in the home, a father that is founded upon believing in Jesus Christ, a father that knows God in the forgiveness of sin, to raise his children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Those children lost a lot. I understand what those children are coming up to an extent. They had no one to set an example before them. They had no one to chastise them. They had no one to give them, here's the way it ought to be. And so many of them don't know no difference. So folks, blame our government. But I want to tell you, the government will never fix it. It's only by the grace of God can this thing be fixed. And it is when we, the church, begin to come together in the church. And we begin to join together down at the altar and we begin to pray. Now, I know preachers don't like to get together and they don't like to take up the time to come and get on around the altar with a group of people and stay there for 2 or 3 or 4 hours praying to God, pouring their hearts out to God. But it's needful. Every church under the sounding of my voice that is going out, and thank God we are using more and more means to share the gospel. You see, right now, the gospel is going out by the radio. The gospel is going out by the internet. The gospel right now with me is going out through Facebook. Right now, I'm creating another podcast that is going out and going around the world that people can pull these in. And it's amazing to see the people who are pulling them in and listening to these brief messages. You see, it's not that long, a 45 minute, an hour and 2 hour message that is going to reach the people. It reminds me of a story as I was with my aunt one time, and when I tell this and my cousin's listening, he's going to know what I'm talking about. But me and her had been down to Fayetteville to a nursing home, and we were bringing by, I was bringing her back home, and she said, Leon, she said, I got 5 preachers to be on my funeral. And I told each one of them that I want them to preach for 1 hour. Because I know this is the only time that all my children is going to be in one place to listen to the gospel. And I want them to get a good dose of it. And I looked at her and I said, Aunt, I'm sure glad you told me because I probably won't be there. Well, as time went on and she lived much longer than she thought, and it didn't go off that way. And I was at her funeral and that she had a good funeral. You see, it's not the long sermons. It's not. It's just the brief in and out that people's going to listen to today. And that's the reason I do these things called turning points. And I look at the book on Sunday morning, wherein I try to get in and out and tell you about what's going to happen and how Jesus wants us. So Jesus has said, I can only do what I see the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son likewise does these things. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he is doing, and he will show him greater works than these, so that you will be able to be amazed. And just as the Father raised the dead and gives them life, so the Son also gives life to whom he wants. The Father, in fact, judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, so that all people may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who has sent him. Folks, I'm going to tell you, Jesus talked some very plain stuff to us right there. He said, I want to tell you that it's important that you honor the Son just as you honor the Father. And he said, I want to tell you, if you don't honor the Son, God's not going to honor you neither. So what I'm trying to tell you this morning, there's a need of us learning to honor one another. Not just our fathers, just not our mothers, but you know, we honor the people that are in business. We honor the people who are our neighbors. We honor the people that we're in contact with, you know, and we share with them the love that Jesus loves them and Jesus cares for them and that Jesus wants to forgive them of their sins and to cleanse them from all of their unrighteousness. So my friends, this morning, as many of us are getting older, In getting older, we get wiser. As we get wiser, we get more understanding. And we realize that somebody loves us. Do you love someone this morning? Do you know that God loves you today? And that God will keep you. And God will be with you. I want to tell you today, my friends. Jesus said, you must honor the Father and the Son. Why? Because I want to tell you, the Father gave His Son on the cruel cross of Calvary. Because the Son said, I am willing to go, Father, and become that sacrifice that is worthy. That sacrifice that is worthy. Worthy. To take away the sins of all the world. So my friends, today I want to tell you, if you have received forgiveness of your sins, you have been cleansed from all unrighteousness. It is because the Father gave His Son, and the Son gave His own life on the cross of Calvary for the remission of your sins. So I trust that today, right now, would you allow Jesus Christ to come into your heart? Would you allow Him to speak to you? Would you allow Him to just touch your heart and to set you free and to give you that wonderful peace, that wonderful joy that only comes by Jesus Christ? So for now, may God bless you and may God keep you until we meet again. And good morning, everybody. Greetings. Isn't it a wonderful day? I tell you what, it's going to be beautiful today. Beautiful sunshine and just a wonderful thing. We want to talk about life and judgment. You know, I think that's something that we need to help people to understand. You know, it was very important to me that I understood at a very young age that as I live my life, I would have to give an account of the life that I had lived. But I also was taught there was a way that I could find forgiveness and help me to understand that through this life, at the end of this life, there would be judgment that I would have to give an account of. So let's go into the book of John, chapter 5, and in verse 24, he says, truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. And I and will not come under judgment, but has passed from death unto life. He who hears my word and believes has eternal life. So I want to tell you, that's the thing we want to think about. The eternal life that is ours through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So you see, helping you to understand the need to turn to Jesus Christ. To have a turning point in your life. You see, I believe that every one of us need a turning point in our lives. That we need to understand who we are, what we are, where we are, and what's taking place. So let's think about that. Truly I tell you, an hour is coming, and now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so also he has granted to the Son to have the life in himself, and he that granteth him the right to pass judgment, because he is a son of man. Do not be amazed at this, because a time is coming when all those who are in the grave will hear his voice and come out, and those who have done good into resurrection of life, and those who have done wicked things to the resurrection of condemnation. Oh, I want to tell you, did you understand what he was saying? Jesus said, I want to tell you, there's coming a time and when that all in the grave will hear the voice of the Son of God. You see, the Bible talks about two resurrections. The first resurrection is those that have died in the Lord. And their bodies will be resurrected, and he will bring the spirit back with them and will be entered in that celestial body that will live eternally. Because it is the body like unto Christ's. And they have resurrection unto life. To live with the Lord, to be with him, where there is no more sickness, no more suffering, no sorrow. All former things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You see, it's only when we know Jesus Christ that these things happen that way. It's only when we believe and we confess our sins, and there's a turning point in our hearts and lives, that we come right with God. Now, I want to tell you, all the ministers can tell us this is how you ought to live. Good living is good. Clean living is good. Keeping the commandments is good. But I want to tell you, until you accept and you believe the Lord Jesus Christ and allow him to come into your heart and redeem you and to wash you in his blood, there is no way you can get to heaven. Goodness will not get you to heaven. And if I listen to a lot of the message today, those are the things that I would interpret, and I would say, I just need to live a good life. So guys, I want to tell you, I want us to understand there's more than just living a good life. There's the fact of believing that Jesus is the Son of God. There is the fact of accepting him as our Savior, because we're going to stand and give a judgment. We're going to be judged, every one of us. And I want to tell you, the only thing that is atonement, the only thing that is going to count, the only thing that is going to bring you into the right relationship between you and God is his Son, Jesus Christ. Have you accepted the Son? The Son is important in your life. He is called Jesus. He is called the Son of Man. He is called the Christ. He is called the Redeemer. Because of all these things, he has allowed and have fitted into our hearts and our lives. And we know that he is there. So I trust today that you allow Christ into your heart, into your life, to speak to you. Because one day, judgment we stand in need of. One day, we will stand to give an account. One day, we will stand before our God. The Bible says that every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Guys, there is no getting away from that. Now, we can have all the different beliefs and doctrines and everything we want in the world. We can have all kinds of religions. But the Word of God has made it plain that every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. And everyone is going to stand before God. Now, I want to tell you, you don't want to plead your own case. Because the Bible says there's an all-seeing eye that runs to and fro, keeping a record of your life. And there's a record if you have believed and accepted the Son of God. And he will simply say, Father, this is mine because he's washed in my blood. He has believed. He has confessed me as his Savior. So would you today, would you believe? Would you confess? Would you be ready to stand at judgment? You know, if we get a speeding ticket or some reason we'd have to go to court, you know, we want an attorney, don't we? We want an attorney that has made that case ready to be presented to the judge or the jury with the evidence that we ought to be set free from this and not found guilty. Well, I want to tell you, instead of coming to condemnation, you can come to life. The case can be pleaded and set free today if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Judgment will come to us all. Pardon is only through the Son of God. I hope today, folks, that you will allow that man called Jesus to come into your heart, into your life, and to set you free today and speak to you, because he is the way of life. He is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. Join us again next week when once again we will have another turning point.
It's time now for the program, The Turning Point with
And good morning, everybody, and greetings. It's a wonderful day to praise the Lord, isn't it? Yes, it is. You know, though we may have issues that we may not be feeling the best in the world, it's still a wonderful day to praise the Lord and just to glorify him. Well, I want to tell you, as once again we take another look into God's Word, where God speaks to us in the sixth chapter of the book of St. John. And after this, Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, and a huge crowd following him because they saw the signs that he performed by healing the sick. And Jesus went up to a mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now, the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. So when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming towards him, he asked Philip, "Where will we buy bread so that we may feed these people?" And he asked this to test him, for he knew what he was going to do. And Philip said, 200 darks worth of bread wouldn't be enough to each of them to have a little. And one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter, brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. What are they for so many people?" And Jesus said, "Have the people to sit down." And there was plenty of grass in the place, so they sat down, and the men, number was about 5,000 people. 5,000 people. Friends, I would tell you, 5,000 people is a lot of people following Jesus, isn't it? Why, if we could get 5,000 people today following Jesus Christ, what a great, monstrous thing that would be. I want to tell you that we could share the gospel of Jesus Christ and we could live the banner of salvation and tell them that Jesus wants to redeem them and feed their souls spiritually. You know, kind of breaking me up right there as I think about it. And so we find that they sat down and And then Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks. He distributed to them and those that were seated, and also with as much the fish, he did likewise. And when they were full, he told his disciples, collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. And so they went out and collected and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the fish and loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. And when the people saw the signs that he had done, they said, this truly is the prophet who is to come into the world. Thereby, when Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force and to make him a king, he withdrew again into the mountains by himself. Friends, I want to tell you, they were looking for a king. The people was looking for a Messiah that was going to come and reign over them. You know, that's what a lot of people today are looking for. They're looking for someone that can reign over them, someone that can give them peace, someone can give them the things they want in life. But you know, Jesus came not for those purposes. He came and said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I came that the blind might see, and the deaf might hear, and the dumb might be healed. Friends, I want to tell you today, we're talking about a magnificent Christ that came and gave life unto those that came. But as Jesus was there and he saw this crowd, he was moved with compassion. You know, any of us would be moved with compassion when we see this many people and we know there's not food for them to eat and they're going to fall by the wayside trying to get back home. So Jesus felt an urge, I need to come to the rescue of them. I want to tell you today, Jesus is feeling an urge that he wants to come to your rescue today. He wants to come to you and redeem you. He wants to set you free. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to cleanse you and make you be born again by the renewing power of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary. So I want to tell you today, it's good to know that Jesus loves us. It's good to know that he cares that much for us. You see, sometimes Jesus might test us sometimes by the Spirit and see how much faith we have and how much do we believe in the power and how much do we believe in the giving of eternal life. Folks, I'm going to tell you today, there is so many people in the world today that does not believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. And I want to tell you, when we refuse to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, there's something wrong. There's something wrong when we're not realizing that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is the great I Am, and he's came to set the captive free. I want to tell you, folks, in America today, the God that I'm serving and the God I'm talking about, and that is the Son of God today, the living God, he has power to heal our land in America today. He said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and call upon me, I would hear and heal their land. Which tells me that the Christian people are not calling upon Jesus. Maybe there's a few of us, but I want to tell you, the majority, we have come to the point where we just don't see the need of praying because we don't see anything happening. You see, if you don't pray believing, if you don't pray trusting, if you don't trust feeling that something's going to happen and your answers or prayers are going to be answered, they're never going to be answered. So guys, we got to believe. We got to trust. We got to lift up the banner of Jesus Christ. Yeah, we have all these people who are wanting to tear down the statues and the monuments of Jesus Christ, the man who came into the world. Oh, he is this and he's that. I want to tell you, doesn't matter what he is, he's the one that gives you everlasting life. He's the one that gives you that peace. He's the one that helps you to understand that you've been born again. He's the one that can feed you spiritually as well as he fed these people physically that day. Friends, I want to tell you, when you eat physically, you get hungry again, don't you? That's right. We ate last night and we got up this morning. Boy, it's time to eat again. We ate this morning and in just about another 2.5 hours, we could be wanting to eat again. Because the physical food runs out. But I want to tell you, Jesus said to that woman, well, if you knew who it was, you would ask him for living water. And she said, man, I'd love to have that. I'll never have to draw again here. See, she had the misconcept. Jesus was talking about spiritual water. He was talking about water that flows in us 24 hours a day. A wonderful thing of God that just gives us that peace and inner security with us. It is always living within us. It never runs dry. Friends, I want to tell you, the living water of God is flowing and bubbling in me 24 hours a day. Folks, I'm going to tell you, it has for almost 70 years that God has been living in my heart, in my life, and I know that peace which surpasses all understanding. You see, I don't worry about where I'm going. I know where I'm going. I know I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ because he has forgiven me of my sins. He cleansed me of all of my unrighteousness, and he is walking with me daily. Yeah, folks, I'm going to tell you, when you've been where I've been and as close to death as I've been, and you're not worried and you're simply waiting for the Lord to take it, it gives you that inner peace that the world don't know about. I want to tell you, Jesus not only feeds me physically, but he feeds me spiritually. And it's amazing how that with 2 fish and 5 little loaves of bread, that he fed 5,000 people, plus probably more. And they took up 12 baskets of fragments that was left over after they had eaten and were filled. So I want to tell you, folks, I'm serving a God that has the capacity to do miracles in my life and yours. I'm serving a God who has the power today to cleanse you from all of your sins. I'm serving a God today that has the power to forgive you. I'm serving a God today that can change you from the way you are living and the things that you're indulging in. His name is called Jesus. I want to say to you today, it doesn't matter to me what denomination you are. You may have been brought up this and brought up that and brought up the other. I want to tell you today, folks, I speak to you truly about a man that can change your life. He can forgive you of your sins. He can take away the habits that you have. And you don't want them again. You know, I'm so glad I don't have these habits that I'm bogged down with them. You know, I'm so glad of that. How about you? So if you today would pause and simply say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of all those things out there. What a great, wonderful time it would be with you in the Lord. And you can know that you are with God today and that he is walking with you. So, my friends, until we meet again, when we will take another time to talk about the turning point of your life and turning it toward the Lord Jesus Christ, may God bless you and keep you. And good morning, everybody, and greetings. It's another time that we have Turning Point. Now, a turning point is a time that we come to you and we talk about turning your life around. Now, I know that So many ministers today, they talk about how to live a good life. I like to talk like Jesus did. And Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You must repent if you want to be redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we want to talk about the signs walking on the water. This was the fifth sign that Jesus gave to his disciples. Now, have you ever tried to walk on the water? Well, you know what? I've seen some people who thought they could. And when they begin to get reality and to look at this thing, they found that, you know, really, I can't walk on the water. It reminds me of a little story that was told of three preachers. And they were three different denominations. And anyway, I won't talk about the denominations, but anyway, they were out all fishing in the boat. And they decided they needed to go out to the restroom. So one stepped out and toot-toot-toot across the top of the water. He went out and he came back in, toot-toot-toot, and he was back in the boat. And the other one, toot-toot-toot, he was out and he walked on the water. Well, the third preacher said, you know, if you guys can do that, I can do it also. So he steps out of the boat and choo, over his head he goes. He finally gets up and he goes on by out and he comes back in. And one of the guys says, just before he got back, he said, you guess we ought to tell him where those stumps are at under the water. You see, walking on the water takes something supernatural from what you and I normally have. Or there has to be some type of preparation done that we can't see what we're walking on, but something's got to hold us up. But when evening came, his disciples came down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. Darkness had already set in, but Jesus had not yet come to them. A high wind arose, and the sea began to churn. And after they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the water. He was coming near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, it is I, don't be afraid. Then they were willing to take him on board. And at once the boat was at shore where they were headed. Now, this is the Gospel of John. In one of the other Gospels, talks about that Peter said to Jesus, would you bid me, if it is you, to come to you? And we'll get into that study at different times. But what I'm saying is, we're talking about walking on water. Now, I want to tell you guys, as we are in the world that we're living in today, and there's just so many things going on, there's so many things happening, that we need to be walking on the water spiritually, walking with Jesus. Now, I want to ask you, how would you feel if you were out in a boat and all of a sudden you looked and here I was coming to you and I was walking on the water? Now, I didn't have, as we have, one of these parasails that's over the top of me and guide me along the top of the water on that ski out there. But I was literally just walking as though I was on the top of the water. The scripture says that the waves was blusterous. The scriptures tells us that the boat was hard to control. And those of you are like me, you have been out there on the boat, and you know, and all of a sudden it gets very blusterous. And it's hard to control the boat. I remember that one night, a friend of mine who has now passed, and he said, I want you to come down to Moorhead City, and I want you to let's go out and cast some nets. And we want to catch a whole bunch of mullets. And he told me how much fun this was. And so, well, you know what? I go down on Friday afternoon and I get down to his house. And we get to have eaten supper. So he said, well, it's time we hit the boat. And we go out there. And I'm going to tell you, we got in that boat. And I'm going to tell you, finally he looked at me and he said, "Will you lie down in the bottom? Because I don't want to see you go overboard." It made me understand how blusterous it must have been to these disciples. Because we were out there and it was very, very turbulent for that small boat. And I want to tell you, the only thing we caught that night in those nets was seaweed. But they were filled with seaweed. But we got in and we got to the house and we slept that night. And he said, "Let's go back in tomorrow." Well, the next day, it was as calm could possibly be out there. And so we lured him out there and he said, "Yonder comes a school. A fish." And we surrounded and we threw the net out. He said, "Now one's got to go overboard." I said, "I'll do it." He said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yeah, I don't mind going overboard." And I went overboard and grabbed up the hold and took that net and anchored it down. And they ran around with the boat. We got one little fish. I don't know where I didn't do it right or they didn't do it right. Or maybe we didn't see anything. But what I'm saying to you is this. Jesus is coming to his disciples after he had been out praying, and he's walking on the water. Now, I want to tell you, this tells me there was something about Jesus during that time was still a little bit supernatural to you and I. Okay? But then I think about it, well, it was he who made the water. It was him who made the dry land. It was him who made the wind. It was him who made all. So all these things was under his control. But as he came towards his disciples, they saw him and they were afraid. You know, you are like them. You would have probably thought, "Man, this is some ghost come walking across the water towards us. It's just totally impossible that a human being could walk upon the water coming towards that boat." And it got closer and closer and closer. But you know what? When Jesus got in the boat after they had welcomed him in the boat and he got in, the sea became calm and the boat became stable. You see, what I'm saying to you this morning, that if you welcome Jesus into your heart, into your life can become stable. You can become to the point that you are in control along with Jesus. Now, when you try to control it all by yourself, I'm going to tell you, it's a blusterous life out there. It's ups and downs and it's everything else. But when you let Jesus help you control that life, once you welcome him aboard. You know, I've talked to so many people and I've seen so many people that they tell me, "Leon, once I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart, once I welcomed him in and I took him on board, my life became so much calmer. The blusterous things went away, and behold, with me and Jesus, we could control and we could have a wonderful life together." You see, that's what I'm saying to you this morning. There's a need for you to welcome Jesus on board in your life. You do that by repenting and saying, "Lord, I'm sorrowful that I have been a sinner. I'm so sorry that I have neglected you and I've pushed you out and not allowed you into my heart. Jesus, will you come into my life? Will you take control of my life and let me put my life in your hands?" You see, you'll always be in good hands when you're the hand of Jesus Christ. He's the man with the hand that can give you that perfect peace and joy that you need in your heart and life. So I would invite you this morning, would you welcome him on board? And say, "God, help me to get my life to the point that it's more smoother sailing. That I'm not about to sink. That I'm not like the boat that's out in the ocean and tossed to and fro. But I know where the anchor is because it holds me safely. And one day will take me home. You see, that anchor happens to be Jesus Christ also. He's the keeper of the stars. He's the keeper of the oceans. He can be the keeper of your life if only today you will invite Jesus Christ in, because he is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is the great, great I Am. My friend, today, would you let Jesus into your heart?
It's time now for the program, The Turning Point with Leon Tarr.
And good morning, everybody. Isn't it great to know that we are serving a living God today? Oh, I wanted to tell you, I just love to know that I'm serving a living God, a God that can be touched by my infirmities, a God can be touched by my voice and my prayers and my coming to him periodically, day after day and time after time after during that day. You see, it's not one time a day we come to God, but we come to him quite often, and we know that we are there. I hope that you will pause and you will stop and you will think about this that's going on with you out there. Well, today we're going to talk about the bread of life. Now, how many of you had bread for breakfast? How many of you have some bread for lunch? How many of you will have bread for your evening meal today? Well, bread is a necessity sometimes with us. I know that some of us kind of kicked the bread out and forgot about it because, well, it just keeps us gaining that weight and we need to get rid of some weight. So we have to do without some things on it. Well, in the book of St. John, chapter 6, in verse 22, the next day the crowd came and had stayed on the other side of the sea, saw that there was only one boat. They also saw that Jesus had not boarded the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone off alone. Some boats from the timbers came near to the place where they were eating, and the bread of the Lord had given thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. Man, I want to tell you, if we could get people looking for Jesus today, wouldn't that be a miracle? It would be a great miraculous thing going on. But no, they want to tear down the statues of Jesus. They want to do away with everything that points people to Christianity. You know, sometimes I get upset when I think about this. How ignorant that we become sometimes in our lives. But you know, it's not something that just started. It's been from the beginning of time. You see, they rejected Jesus Christ, the Jews did. They wanted to find a way that they could kill him. But yet here we find that John said the people were seeking Jesus. So I want to tell you, folks, Scripture says in verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? When did you get here? How did you get here? And what's going on? And Jesus answered, truly I tell you, you are looking not for me because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves that were filled. Don't work for food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man gives to you because God the Father has set his seal of approval upon him. Well, I want to stop right there. And I want us to look for just a moment. Jesus said, you are looking for me for the food. But don't look to me for food that only lasts temporarily. You see, I had breakfast and, I probably already beginning to think about what am I going to have for lunch and when am I going to get lunch? Jesus said, don't look for these things because you know what? The food that you had for breakfast this morning, it's already beginning to run out, isn't it? It's already beginning to tell me to say, hey, it's time to put a little something in here. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus said, but you should look for food that lasts for eternal life. Are we thinking about eternal life today? You know, sometimes we say, I'm going to live to be 100 years old. I'm going to live to be 110 years old. Or I'm going to live to be 90 years old. You know, I'm not so concerned about that. I'm concerned about living eternally in the kingdom of God. Should I pass today or tomorrow or 25 years from now, it doesn't really matter. I'm looking to live eternally in the glorious kingdom of God. And Jesus said, that is what you want to look for, and that's what you want to eat up on, is food that will give you eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. He said, only the Son of Man can give you eternal life. You know, we don't talk a lot about that anymore. But I believe it's so important to talk about the eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. Guys, I'm passing this way one time. But I'm passing this way to get to eternal life in the glorious kingdom of heaven with God. It's important that you think about that. Because I want to tell you, if you don't get eternal life in the kingdom of God, you are cast out into outer darkness. The Bible said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Bible said there will be torment both day and night. Now, I didn't say those things. The Bible said it. I believe what the Bible said. I don't care what the scholar says. I don't care what the great teachers and the seminar tell. I want to tell you, I believe what God said. So Jesus said it is important. He said, I will give this to you because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him. That is on the Son of Man, which gives you the eternal life. So, friends, I want to tell you, it's important that we understand that. And so when we understand that we are living in that way and we understand what's going on and what's happening. And he said, what can we do to perform the works of God, they ask? And Jesus replied, this is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent. Now, what does this mean? We're serving God, but Jesus said, you've got to believe in the one that God has sent. Who did God send? His Son. He sent his Son to die on the cruel cross of Calvary that you might have eternal life in the glorious kingdom of God. So I want to tell you, my friend, today, we need to understand who we are and where we are and what's going on and where are we going to be at one day. Because my God is coming again. I believe, folks, that this is a pre-adventurous thing that's coming just prior to the kingdom of God coming as we are in this coronavirus that's going on sweeping the world today. It is time we think of and we begin to set our hearts upon that. What sign then are you going to do so that we may believe you? And Jesus answered, What are you going to perform? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. Just as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, I want you to listen. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, Moses didn't give them the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said, give us, sir, this bread. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus told them, no one who comes to me will ever hunger, and no one who believes in me will ever thirst again. But as I told you, you have seen me, and yet you have not believed. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who has sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but should raise them up in the last day. For this is the will of God, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him has eternal life and will raise him up in the last days. Therefore, the Jews started complaining about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? And Jesus said, stop complaining about yourselves. No one came to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. As it is written, the prophets, that they all be taught by God. Everyone who has listened to me and hearkened to God comes to me. Not that anyone who has seen the Father except the one who comes from the Father. I want to tell you that bread is Jesus Christ. Jesus put it so plain to them, but they still could not understand that he was the bread from heaven. They still could not understand that Jesus Christ gives eternal life. I want to say to you this morning, my friend, that if you're listening to me this morning by the radio, podcast, whatever it may be, and as you pull these podcasts and listen to them many days and months from here on, I hope that you will understand that Jesus Christ is the Savior of your life. I hope you will understand that Jesus Christ is the only way that you can have eternal life. So Jesus said on several occasions, repent of your sins, and you shall have eternal life. So I ask you today, as my friend, Brother Billy Graham, that I had the opportunity to sit down with for an entire week and talk every day, as he often said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent in order to be saved by the grace of God. So I say to you this morning, as we bid you farewell on this day, would you repent today? Would you allow God to come into your heart, your life, that you might be redeemed, be saved by the marvelous grace of God? Would you today do that? It is so simple. Oh God, forgive me of my sins, as I come and confess them before you today of my shortcomings. Forgive me. Help me to enter into the joys and the glories of heaven that is to come in that eternal life. For I ask in your holy name, amen and amen. Well, it is good this morning that we can come and we can share together and about the love of Jesus. Now, I hope that sometimes you will go in and you will pull up some of our podcasts and You will listen to them once again, maybe, or I'll tell someone, say, hey, would you run down and pull up some podcasts of Mr. Leon with a look at the book and Turning Points, and that they might be a realistic to you around the world and help you. Well, this morning we want to talk about a subject. The Bible writer, as he kind of gives a headline, he says, many disciples desert Jesus. I want to ask you the question this morning, how many of us are deserting Jesus? Are you deserting Jesus in your life today? Folks, I want to tell you, we are talking about something that needs to be taken care of. And that is a falling away of the Christians from the church. Now, the Bible says in the latter days, there will be a great falling away. Are we living in that latter day today? That's a question you have to answer for yourself. How to satisfy you, and I have to answer for myself to satisfy me. Now, personally, I believe we are living in the latter days today. I believe that we are walking in the latter days with God today. Folks, I want to tell you, in the book of book of John, in chapter 7, in verse 60. Therefore, when many of his disciples heard this, they said, this teaching is hard. Who can accept it? Jesus, knowing himself, his disciples were complaining about this, asked them, does this offend you? Then what if you were to observe the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some among you who don't believe. Now, I wanted to tell you at this time, you know, we so many times think about there just being 12 disciples that followed Jesus. Those were 12 that he called. But at one time, there was hundreds of people that were following Jesus everywhere he went. And they were saying, we are disciples of Christ. I want to call your remembrance to something, and something that you are acquainted with. And that is, you're acquainted of being a member of the church, aren't you? You're acquainted with people who come to the church. But I want to tell you, are we falling away from the church today? Are we allowing the things of the world to cause us to fall away from the church? Now, the disciples, many of them stopped following Jesus, who had called themselves disciples. Now, there was only 12 that Jesus said, these are mine that we have truly called. Now, is this thing that we've had, there's many people been in the church who were not saved by the grace of God? Are there many that have been in the church that does not know about being saved by Christ himself? Is this a hard thing for you to understand? I would tell you, as sophisticated as we have become, with the knowledge that we have learned and where we have come from, we should simply understand there is a falling away from the church. You know, you hear the churches say, well, man, we used to have hundreds of people. Used to. I can say I used to have $1 million. But today, if I'm broke, that doesn't help, does it? Friends, I want to tell you, we're living in a time today when people have forgotten about God. I want to tell you, we're living in a time today when there is a mob in the world that are tearing down, they are destroying, they're looting, and they're burning, and they say, we want to defile everything that's ever been. We want to change. I want to tell you, the change that they say they want, they're not going to want it once they get it. I want to tell you folks today, we don't stop and think. Here in the center of North Carolina, a place that's carved out from the rest of the world, we think we are isolated and we feel that we are secure and we feel that this thing can't happen to us. I want to tell you, it's beginning to inch by inch by inch to come into our own vicinity. A time that you no longer, a time you can no longer protect yourself. A time when you no longer can hold your head up high and say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. It's time we stop and think. Where are we at? Where are we standing at today? You see, I don't buy the thing that it's a racial issue. You know, I've talked with many of my cohorts and close friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, recently that are the opposite race than I am. And we don't have a race issue. But there's a mob that has an issue because they don't want to be subject to any rule. And you see, there's a lot of us who do not want to be subject to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's not a race issue. That's an issue with whether we want to go to heaven or we want to go to hell. Now, I know the modernistic preacher doesn't say, do you want to go to hell? But the realistic is, if you don't accept and don't want to follow Jesus, then you want to go to hell. I want to tell you that. It's just my inspiration of the Holy Spirit that tells me that. The Bible teaches me that. The Bible is not just a good living way of life. The Bible is a fact of the what happens with you if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that is not a racial issue, I want to tell you. You see, it doesn't matter what color Jesus was. The Bible says he came as a Jew. That's okay. I don't have a problem with that. If he had came in Africa, it would have been fine with me. And he came in Russia, China, that would have been fine with me. The fact that I know him in the pardon and forgiveness of sin. The fact that I know him, that I walk with him, I talk with him. And he talks back to me. That's the realistic thing. Friends, I want to tell you, the Bible says it was hard for these people to understand this. For Jesus knew from the beginning those who did not believe and the one who would betray him. He said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father." And from that moment, many of the disciples did what? They turned their back and no longer accompanied him. So Jesus said to the 12, "You don't want to go away too, do you?" Do you want to go away? You see, Jesus is saying to you on an individual basis, do you want to go away? Do you want to turn your back? Well, I want to tell you, the devil is working with you every day. Christian, you can say, well, the devil's not with me. I turned my back on the devil years ago. I want to tell you, he never left you. You left him, but he never left you. And he's continually there with you. He is continually tempting you. He's tempting you and drawing you in every aspect of the way to get you to turn your back on Jesus. And I want to tell you, in the world today, we are turning our back on Jesus. There's a great falling away from the church. There's other things that are more important than the church. Amen? No, it's not an amen. I want to tell you, it's not an amen. We can say amen in agreement, but it's not an amen of praising the Lord that these are falling away. So he said to that 12, don't you want to go? And Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. Do we understand that today? Do we realize today that God has only the words of eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ? We need to understand that, folks. And we need to realize it. It's not a racial thing out there. I want to tell you, we don't have a race problem. We have a mob problem. Those who have gotten caught up, those who have gotten called up by the world, and those who are being infiltrated by the other people out there, and turning them away from America and the life of America. And Jesus replied, didn't I choose you, the 12? Yet one of you are a devil. Didn't I choose you, but one of you is a devil. I want to tell you, when those words came to those, the 12 disciples, I chose you, but one of you is the devil. Supposing Jesus said to us this morning, I chose you, but one of you are a devil. Well, I want to tell you, in our churches, we've had a lot of devils, haven't we? We've seen a lot of confusion. We've seen a lot of strife. We've seen splitting of churches. We've seen people, our brothers and sisters, that never spoke together because there was a division in the family. Folks, I want to tell you, there's nothing to cause me to come to the point that I'm not going to acknowledge my sister as a sister. There's nothing would ever come that I would have denied my mother or my father because they were the giver of this life. But division comes in the world. It comes in the homes. It comes in the churches. It comes in communities. I've had people that tell me, well, when I drive by such and such a house, I just close my eyes. I don't want to see where they live. Because of the vision. And I looked at them and I said, I want to tell you something. You can live by that, but don't you ever die by it. Because if you die by it, you can't be right with God. Because God said, if you hate your brother and you dislike your brother whom you have seen, how can you love God whom you have not seen? So guys, let's put across away this racial thing. Let's realize it's a mob thing. A mob that is caught up in the devil from the pits of hell, designed to destroy our country and our nation that we're living in. You see, I want to tell you, when these people won't stand for God, but they want to kneel, that says, I want to tell you, I'm not recognizing who God truly is. When they won't stand for Old Glory, there's something wrong. They need to understand. That's your flag. That your mothers, your brothers, your dads, your great-granddads, and so on fought to defend, that they would have a country that is free. And they could live. I say to each one of us today, no matter what race we are in, you need to ask yourself the question, as I have, if it was not for America, where would I be today? If it were not for America that God has blessed in such a wonderful way, and by some means or another, had I not gotten here, where would I be at today? If my grandfather and my great-grandfather and my ancestors, all the way back as far as we can find, if they had not come here in the 1600s and come to America and sweated and toiled and tilled and worked together through all the spice and all the toils and the things that we've undergone. Yes, some were known as slavers. But had your father not come in here, and your grandfathers and your ancestors not became here as a slave, where would you be at today? We're the land of the free, the land of the brave, that serve and believe in a living God called Jesus. Are we falling away today? Friends, I ask you the question, are you falling away? In the last moment of this broadcast, are you falling away from God? It's a question we need to ask ourselves today. Where do I stand at with God? Where, oh, where am I today? Oh God, as we come, Lord, here, as we've been here for 50 some years now, Lord, behind this mic proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, as we come today in the toughest and the worst times that we can ever remember because of this virus, because of the turning of hearts away from God, Lord, I hope this virus will bring us back to God. I hope it will cause the church and the Christians to realize you are the maker of all of it. Keep us now, Father, and guide us and be with us. And may we, Lord, understand you are the keeper of our lives. For we ask in your holy name, amen and amen.